pray for that right now. God, we do thank you for the gift it is for us to come together, to bring our very best to you, to worship, to raise our voices and our prayers, our music. We offer this worship to you, Lord God, as our way of saying thanks and as a prayer that our spirits, our hearts, our minds would be open to the movement of your spirit, to receiving your word, even through the sacrament this morning, to be strengthened to go forward, that our lives would be lives of worship, that we would honor you with everything we do and say, that we would practice receiving your love and sharing your love, that that would be simply who we are, our way of life. Help us even in this time now, God, to give ourselves fully to that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I do believe there's children's church available if some of the kids want to go to that. Otherwise, to invite you to stick around. But Mrs. Gertz is over there for any kids who want to go to children's church this morning. I invite you to go ahead that way. I know a lot of our kids are up at Covenant Pines right now. How amazing. 138 of our folks are up there. Biggest attendance yet. I thank God, I'm sure they do, that it's now and not 3 weeks ago. How crazy. I was surprised this morning when Jim came into my office to pray before we began. I got up from my chair, how stiff I was. And it's actually not from shoveling anymore. It's now from using other muscles for weeding and things like that. Every season brings its joys. One of the joys that this season brings is being able to see our young people out in the field again. My son Jonathan loves track. We didn't even see a track until like 2 weeks ago. Baseball players just kind of throwing the ball around in the gym but couldn't really practice. Now they're out there. The fields are open. The track's snow-free. It's fun to see. And one of the things I've really enjoyed is we've got here at Salem kids who come for T-ball. Has anybody ever watched T-ball happening? It's like the most fun thing ever. I think about the challenge of getting an athlete, a kindergartner like we have coming here, one of our best outreaches right now. We've got kids coming to learn how to play T-ball. We got almost 40 kids coming to that. But getting them to focus on the ball is really hard, to try to get them to connect the bat and the ball. It's a real challenge. But that's nothing compared to getting them to, the ones that aren't at the plate, to remember that they're playing a game. To focus on the fact that that ball actually might get hit and you'd better be ready, you better be awake because it might come your direction. Somebody was sharing with me how their middle schooler just a year or two ago playing baseball. By then you think you got to figure it out. He's out in the outfield doing the moonwalk. it's hard to stay focused on what you're about. That's really what Jesus is trying to drive home for his disciples in the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 17. Is he's preparing them for his departure. He's going to go to the cross. He's going to die. He'll rise again. But then he's going to ascend. He's going to leave them. And he wants to prepare them for his departure. And so in all of these chapters, 13 through 17, you hear Jesus coming back again and again to what this life is about, what following him is about. Chapter 13, you might remember, it's the story of Jesus having that Last Supper, like we're going to join together to remember in a few moments. He gathers the disciples together and he washes their feet. And then he tells them, I'm giving you an example so that you can follow this. When I'm gone, I want you to do what I've done for you. In fact, he says at the end of chapter 13, this is how everybody will know that you're my disciples, by your love for one another. It's like saying to a soccer player, this is how people will know you're a soccer player. It's not because you're wearing the uniform. It's because you are out there kicking the soccer ball. You're playing the game. I think about our musicians. We know you're musicians, that you're a part of this team because, oh yeah, you play music. You sing. And if you're a Christian, we know that you're a Christian because, well, you love. That's what we do. That's what our Lord has taught us to do, and this is what we're practicing. And so again and again, Jesus is teaching this to his disciples in these chapters as he prepares them. He wants them to remember that this is what it's about. And so right in the middle of these four chapters, we have today's passage. It's from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. It's right after Jesus has said that you need to abide in me. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from you, you can do nothing. And then he goes on to reinforce what it means to abide in him. And so he says to his disciples, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I'm telling you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. That you love one another just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. Because I have made known to you everything that I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Did you get the command? Did you hear what he so much wants us to hear, to know, to understand? Sometimes we make this Christian life out to be so doggone complicated. But this is what it's about, to love one another as we have been loved, which actually isn't all that easy, but at least it does give us a focus. Nothing else matters if this isn't our aim. This is the call. So Jesus, again and again in these chapters, is preparing his disciples for his departure. And the key to it all is going to be this call to love. But he's got a few other things that center around this one thing. And the first one, and this will help us to love, all of this will help us actually to love. The first one is he wants us to believe. Think about how John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6, something you might have heard at a funeral. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to be with me so that where I am, you may be also. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. At the heart, at the center, the foundation for the love that we're called to live out is this faith, this belief that we are loved. We'll come together today so that we believe that we are loved. That's the foundation. That's the rock solid thing. The second thing that Jesus emphasizes again and again in this passage, the departure passages, is that we remember. That's why we come to the table. We remember, do this in remembrance of me. We remember that we're loved, and we remember that this is the pathway that we're called to live, that as Jesus did for his disciples on that night long ago, so we're called to do for one another and for the world. We remember Jesus. We remember his love. We remember what we are called to do. Third thing that Jesus talks about in all of this is that he wants us to abide in his peace. He says in here, I give you my peace, not as the world gives it, but as I alone can give you this peace that you can rest in, that you can abide in when life is difficult, when the challenges come your way, even in the face of death. Here's Jesus facing death himself, and he says, you can abide in peace, the kind of peace that I'm abiding in the Father. He wants the disciples to know this peace that passes human understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds, that keeps us on that firm foundation of God's love. Another thing Jesus reinforces, in fact, it comes right after today's chapter, today's verses. Jesus starts talking about the troubles that the followers of Jesus are going to face. He doesn't want them to be surprised by life's troubles, the difficulties that are going to come their way. He says, if I've been persecuted, if people hated me, don't go into life thinking they're going to be happy with you. If you follow God's word, my ways, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be running into trouble just like I'm running into trouble. Don't be surprised. And don't be stumbling. Don't be falling when it happens. Life is difficult for everybody. But if you're going to add to the challenges that life has for everybody, the call to be sacrificially giving yourself in love for others, then life is actually going to get more difficult, not easier. Don't be surprised by that. And don't let that make you stumble. The next thing that Jesus talks about is, as we heard in this passage, how he wants us to experience the joy that he's been enjoying in this relationship with the Father, the Son, or Father and the Holy Spirit since before the creation of the world. As he's abided in the Father and the Holy Spirit, he wants us to enter into that abiding, that joy of that relationship. And again, I want to reinforce that this is a joy Jesus is experiencing and wants to share that is taking place as he knows he's going to the cross the next day. That God offers us a joy that surpasses our understanding, that is deeper than the circumstances. And so as we build upon that foundation of believing in God, trusting his love, we can experience that joy. And then finally, Jesus, again and again, at the beginning and the end, throughout this passage and always, keeps talking about living in love, right? That this is what our call is. This is my commandment, that you love one another. The gospel writer, John here, also writes in his letters later on in the New Testament about how you can't say you love God if you're not loving your brother, your sister, that this is how we live it out. Jesus reinforces, I'm going to be going. I want you to keep playing the game I've called you to play, which is way too light of a metaphor because this isn't a game. This is real life. This is what it's really about. So this is the key. Receiving God's love and sharing God's love. This is what we're called to. And I want to say for a moment here that you've probably heard the sermon before, right? Have you ever heard a pastor tell you you should love? I hope so. And I hope we keep hearing it again and again because we've got to remember it. We've got so many voices calling on us in our world to do something else, to make our lives revolve around us and what we want, what we think, rather than about offering ourselves, as the Apostle Paul tells us, to have that same mind in us that is in Christ, the Jesus who emptied himself of his position in heaven. This is what it's all about. This is the key. There's nothing else. Everything else we talk about on any Sunday here is secondary to this and hopefully supports this, our call to love. It's been said, Tertullian, a writer from the second century, talking about the gospel, John, the writer of this gospel, that as he got older and older, people would start asking him, why is it every time you get together with people, you just say love one another? Well, you know, why do you just keep saying that? He says, because this is the only thing that matters. If you do this, everything else is taken care of. This is God's command. This is Jesus' command. And we can't emphasize it enough that this is the key. Paul says this in Colossians chapter 3. Love is the thing that binds everything else together. And so today I want to encourage us, me included, to venture forward on what Jesus tells us is the joyful pathway of love. This is how we will experience and share joy in our world, the joyful way of love. And so how can we do that? I want to just give you four things that Jesus emphasizes in this passage. Four things that can help us move forward on this joyful way of love. And the first one, this isn't going to be any surprise because I've mentioned it before, is remember. That's why we come each month to this table. We come here to remember. Remember that you are loved. And remember that you are called, appointed to go and bear the fruit of love in the world. This is what it's about. Remember, remember, come each week. Let's pray. Let's remind each other. Let's remember each day. Remember, you are loved and you are appointed to go and love. This is the flow of the life that you're called to live. The second thing that Jesus talks about in here that I want to emphasize this morning is that we're called to pray. If you want to move forward on this pathway of love, of joyful life, we need to be people who are praying. Ask God to help you do this. And what Jesus says in this passage, not I'm telling you these things so that you can ask whatever you want and God will give it to you. That's not what the passage said. It said, if you ask anything in my name, it'll be given you. Now, when we ask things in Jesus' name, that means we're asking things in line with Jesus' vision, his perspective, his desires for our world. So I want to tell you the kind of prayer that God loves to answer. It's the kind of prayer that we pray that says, God, help me to love. God loves to answer that prayer. God, help Salem. Help us to learn to love one another. God loves to answer that prayer. God, help me to know how to love this person that I don't even like. God loves to answer that kind of prayer. And as we pray those prayers and we step forward with God, he will bear fruit through our lives that goes beyond what we've asked, what we've imagined. Now, this is a very practical one for me because I do this, especially when I'm going into challenging situations. Sometimes when I'm feeling insecure about preaching or speaking or whatever it might be, I say, God, help me just to really love these people. So it's not so much focused on whether I'm going to stumble or fall, but on whether I'm going to do my best to offer something to the people God is calling me to serve. I pray this kind of prayer when I'm going into a meeting when I don't really want to go to the meeting. Sometimes I've even, if you can imagine it, gone into meetings where, like, I'm not sure I like these people I have to go meet with. Say, God, help me to love these people. And God does something in me, shifts something in me. He answers that prayer and helps me to go into the meeting wanting the best for the people I'm sitting with. They may not agree with me. We may have disagreements. They may not like me. But I can want the best for them. God helps me to do that in the midst of the meeting. It's an amazing shift that takes place. I want to invite you to pray for God's help in this. Pray for God to help us love. Third thing that I would encourage you to do is to nurture a vision and a capacity to love. Pray that God would open up, expand your vision of what it means for you to love your neighbor, for what it means for you to love others here at Salem and in the world around. We need to be nurturing a vision, because our vision of what love looks like, what love means, is so small. And we watch movies and we think that's what love is. Oh, we watch TV, that's what love is. No, we come to this table and we say, this is what love is. We need to nurture a vision that's like Jesus' vision of loving our neighbor and loving our enemy. God, help me to nurture that kind of vision and that capacity to love as I have been loved. One of the ways we can do this is by looking for models, mentors, people that you've seen, and I know you've seen these people, who are actually pretty good at receiving God's love, resting in God's love. They're pretty secure. They practice being secure in God's love. You know that difference. And they practice sharing God's love with others. Who do you know who can expand your vision of what it means to rest and receive, rejoice in God's love, and share God's love with others? Of course, there's no greater mentor or model than the one we remember this morning at this table. But look for those people. Model your life by those people so that you nurture a vision and a capacity to love. And then finally, which is the same thing you'd say to a t-ball player, a soccer player, a musician, you'd say practice. Just practice, 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 right? That's how you'll get better. Don't just wait until you got it all figured out and you're really good at it. You'll never get good at it. You got to practice. You got to be willing to fail. You got to be willing to mess the whole thing up so that you can actually learn how to get it better. I love the stories that I've read of musicians who are in their 90s and still practicing, and they're asked, why do you practice? Because I want to get better. And boy, if there's anything that we want to get better at, it's this, right? It's loving one another as we've been loved. This is the joyful way of life. There's nothing else that we're on this field for. There's nothing else that will give us this deep joy that Jesus promises. There's no other way to truly abide in Jesus, to be a part of his team, except to do what he's teaching his teammates to do. That's to love. And so this morning, as we come to this table, I'd invite you to come and remember. Come and pray that God would give you a heart to receive and to share God's love. Come to this table and ask God to expand your vision of what true love looks like and how you can live it out. Come to this table this morning and rejoice in God's love. Let's even practice this morning receiving God's love and serving, sharing God's love with others. I know we already fist bumped and all that kind of stuff with each other this morning, but I want to invite you right now to practice one more time loving one another in God's name. So I'm going to ask you, when I say, I'll tell you in just a moment, to get up, and it could be a fist bump of love, a hug, a kiss, whatever God leads you to do. But I would invite you, as we prepare to come to the table this morning, to share God's love with one another. Say, the love of Christ be with you. Let's do that right now.